Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
This episode of The Need to Fail is brought to you by wine glasses. I love wine, and I love pouring my wine into the super thin glass chalice that is meant to be its final home. I stick my big fucking nose in there and sniff out the sweet aromas of bumbleberry and huckle sauce. I tip the glass and see that the color is raw flesh, swirl it around like the tilt-a-whirl I shit my pants on in seventh grade, and I sip it like a baby chick from a rain puddle, and then wine. Then, oops, glass slips out of my hand, breaks in the sink every goddamn time I try to wash it. Wine glasses. Sniff, sip, shatter.
Sometimes you need to fail. The need.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Need to Fail. My name's Don Finelli. I run this thing for only a couple more episodes. We're down to our final three. Now, I couldn't get a hold of Matt McGorry. He was one of the original six folks that I interviewed back in 2013. I reached out a couple times. No dice. All is good. He's an amazing dude. He's in the trenches of activism right now. He's trying to change the world. I'll let it slide. But we still have three episodes left. So this is what I did. We have the wonderful Abby Jacobson today. Next week, we will have my first podcast interviewee ever, the Lauren Lapkus. And to close it out, to really make this thing full circle, we're going to have my first ever interview for the Need to Fail, which was on my Need to Fail Tumblr. Remember Tumblr? So this is going to be technically my third time interviewing my Jersey brother, Chris Gethard. Okay, so we're closing it out with Abby, Lauren, and Geth, three of my favorite people. And then see you later, baseball. Now I'm going to quickly address a question that I've been getting asked by enough folks that I figured I should address it here. People were asking me, what about you, Don? You need to be interviewed for your podcast. And to that I say, no, I don't know. I'm flattered. But I think I revealed enough along the way. But also, yeah, maybe one day it'd be cool to be on the other side of this. But for now, as I've learned over the years interviewing people, time and perspective are quite important for self-reflection and analyzation. So, you know, and specifically as it pertains to success and failure, because, you know, it's just easier to have perspective on a situation when you have some distance from it. So that's where I'm at right now. If I were to do my own podcast, you know, be on the other side of this, at least I need at least some distance from it, if that makes sense. And I think I'll slowly share my thoughts on what this experience has meant to me over these last couple episodes and what I've learned, as I just did now. One of the big takeaways after interviewing a bunch of folks is time and perspective are your friends for figuring out if failure even exists in the grand scheme of things. Think about that for a sec, okay? Have you? Great, let's get to the show. 7 years ago, I interviewed my bud, Abby Jacobson. Broad City wasn't even out yet. They had just filmed it. So we had the whole run of Broad City to cover, as well as other fantastic projects that Abby has helmed. One of them being the writer and star in the new adaption of A League of Their Own. So we recorded this back at the end of April. Okay, this is one of my first interviews I did in quarantine. And last week, we just heard that A League of Their Own was picked up for a series at Amazon. So she didn't even know at that point when we were talking to each other. I think she had just finished editing the goddamn pilot. So congrats to Abby. Congrats to the rest of the cast and crew on the series order. I read the pilot. It is awesome. I am very excited to see it. Actually, I had a callback for a little small role in the pilot. I didn't get it, but Abby was kind enough to just flat out tell me why, which was they needed someone older and meaner looking. I'll take it. We did have this awesome moment before the callback where she kind of came out of the room and we were just kind of like standing in the building on the Paramount lot, just kind of looking around being like, yes, this is pretty fucking cool that we're here because Abby and I used to slum it together in New York. Quick fun story. We're on an indie team called Naptime Inc. We had this like Saturday afternoon show at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. It was just me, Abby, and our buddy Rob Stern representing our team. And then the rest of the people were at the show, the host, his girlfriend, and one stand-up. That's it. Six of us, the whole show. So the stand-up goes on first, comes off, walks right out. Fuck us, right? Of course. So Abby, Rob, and I, obviously up next. And we performed for the host and his girlfriend, and it still goes down as one of my favorite shows I've ever been a part of. We had just so much goddamn fun. We just went balls to the wall. I felt like we were performing for like 500 people. We were just locked in. We were not self-conscious. We were not doing the ironic detachment thing. I just remember walking off stage. I just felt like I was floating on air. It was such a fun fucking show for two people. Abby's just, she's one of the best. We lived around the block from each other back in Brooklyn Heights a couple years ago. She always made time to grab a coffee, meet up, and we just go deep about life and art and all that stuff. She's insanely generous. She and Alana flew me back for the final season of Broad City when I was living in LA to reprise my role as Business Guido for the third time. Deep, deep cut storyline there. They did not have to do that. It was insanely kind to them, but that's who Abby is. Insanely talented, thoughtful, a true artist, a voiceover extraordinaire as well. Disenchantment and BoJack Horseman on Netflix, Bob's Burgers, Lego Ninja Movie, and the upcoming Sony animated film Connected. We cover Broad City, A League of Their Own, her book, I Might Regret This, enough of my yapping. Let's get to it, okay? Here she is, the amazing Abby Jacobson. Do you know when I put out your episode? What year?
I mean, I feel like it was like 2013.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because I remember where what apartment I was in.
Yeah, that's how I do it. Or something. It's like, where was I living? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I feel like we recorded in like, where, like, you recorded it in like a room almost like a Champions.
Yes. Yeah. I found this like recording studio. One of my Harold teams had like practiced in one time, and I was like, oh, this is a sound studio. Like, maybe I can rent this out. So I would rent out the studio for like an hour or two. We dropped this, your episode, I think it was May 10th, 2013. So almost 7 years ago for when we're talking right now.
This episode won't drop for a little bit. I would love to listen to that. We sound so young. That was 7 years ago.
I don't think Broad City hadn't even really taken off by then. You were just doing the pilot.
We aired it in, I mean, I think it aired in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? But you had shot the pilot already.
We shot the pilot.
Yeah. That's insane.
I think we were about to write the season.
Yeah.
it's bizarre. That was like ages and ages ago, and then not that long ago, but.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's just like a couple years. Like 7 years is long, but it's like think of how much happened in that time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
That's fucking crazy. You did a Vanity Fair interview. You know what I mean? Like, from when you talked to me,
six years later, you're talking to Vanity Fair. Hilarious that ever happened. Any of it.
What do you make of all this shit? Because you're such a good man. You're such like an artist. Like, that's how I always viewed you. Like, you have shit to like. You always have like stuff to get out. You want to get stuff out, whether it's through fine art or through this stuff, and. It's just so funny. Did you ever dream of this stuff? Because it's, you got the thing, man, like that we were all hustling to do.
I know.
Where the fuck are you at right now?
It's really bizarre. And like, I mean, the thing that's weird to me is that like, I think like coming up at UCB, like, yeah, like we all, I couldn't have even like imagined exactly what happened. I mean, right. For a while it was like, yeah, I want to just get in a commercial.
Yeah.
Like that was, you know what I mean? Like I didn't have like, I want like this, like I definitely just wanted to be making comedy and getting to write comedy and perform it.
Yeah.
And I honestly, and maybe this is just, this is still how I, you know, I think I've developed more confidence maybe than I had then. Because, I mean, we were on an improv team for a while. You know that I,
yeah,
I'm just like, there's confidence, but then there's really not. I think I may be like the last one, not the last, but like, I don't think I was like, oh, I'm the one that's going to get, like, right. I'm not going to be on a show. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I was always, or, and I didn't feel like people thought that about me either. Like, I don't think necessarily that people were like, oh, Abby and Alana won't go and like do a show.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's like, I don't know if it's unfortunate or good that that's still like my mentality where I'm just like, I don't know either. I think for a while it was like keeping my head down and like doing the, like the show and whatever happened, happened.
And you're a workaholic too. Like I remember like you like to work on shit and you like to really kind of get to it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of distractions.
I am. I think like the older I get, the more I'm realizing like, oh, that's maybe like an imbalance.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm doing that to like, you know, distract myself from like the other parts of my life I'm not like thrilled about, but,
right.
But then all of that, like I've found, I think throughout these 7 years, I've found like, oh, all the stuff that I kind of struggle with in on the other side is like the best stuff for the comedy and the work. So,
right.
It, even
one feeds the other.
Even if I'm like feeling shitty about some aspect, which like, that I guess that is a thing where like, oh, I thought maybe when I was successful, I would not have that, which I think people feel. They're like, oh, I'll get the show and I'll like feel like more secure about myself and all this. And I don't think that that's true.
From someone else listening, their first instinct listening to that has to be like, how? Like you got the thing, you know what I mean? Like they don't understand the process of going through it. And I'm guessing it's the process, at least what I've talked to a lot of people, the process of doing anything is the joy, the result of it. And like the admiration and everything that goes along with it is probably pretty fucking cool. You have some perks that go along with all that stuff. But for any, I think, good artist, right? Anybody that wants to like create something, it's the actual creation of the fucking thing that really brings us the joy. And so when someone goes like, well, how can you not be, say, satisfied or even more confident? It's like, well, one, you're fucking human.
Yeah. Like, there's like, there's a real big human element to it. And also, I think a lot of people that are doing this, like, just don't have conversations like this where they're like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
And I will say like the confidence in my like ability to write a script and to, especially in the comedy world,
right?
It's like not, I can't compare myself to then because, or even like comedically, like I'm like, I know how to like go into a scene and I can like, I can figure out like what at least in my opinion is funny. Whereas, and I think I can like execute it, but there's still like a level of doubt. I think if there isn't, like that's, something's off.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, then you're kind of like a megalomaniac in a way where you're, some people, this is the other thing. It's, we're trying to like box ourselves into all these different things. And it's like, some people do well in that, but like something's got to suffer, right? Like if you're completely not maybe feeling like, for you, maybe that insecurity is your checkpoint. Like it's like a check for you. It's a guide in a way. Right. There's like the negative and positive of everything.
Yes.
But like someone that's just like no checks, like, and they make their masterpiece say like, maybe they're not fun to be around, or maybe they're so focused on that they don't have love in their life, or I don't know. Everyone's so fucking different, but
yeah,
it's, we kind of hate ourselves sometimes because of our faults, but sometimes they're there to guide us in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's like, it is. Every single person's different. And, but I think the majority of us think that when we find that success,
yeah.
I mean, I sound like a fucking cliche. Yeah. But it's like, that's not the, I don't think that that's ever like the, you're, that's never going to fulfill everything.
I feel, I just had this thought of like, I feel like we would be having this conversation in Brooklyn Heights at like a cafe.
Yep. <We're> just, yeah.
We would have, we'd be talking about the same shit.
Yeah.
How do you balance all that shit? Or is it just like a nonstop onslaught? Did you get like a system down eventually of like how to balance like the writing, acting, producing thing? Was there like a lot of stumbling blocks through that shit? Cause that, those are three different hats. I mean,
yeah, it definitely was. It was like going to like grad school kind of.
Yeah. Right.
And we were all, you know, thrown in like the first season. It was us, Paul and Lucia and Chris Kelly, Tammy yeah. Sager and Naomi Ekperigin was the writer's assistant. And right. like none right. of us except Tammy had really even written for TV. Yeah. Like Chris was on SNL. Like it was like, yeah. what? But that's kind of yeah. why it, like, it was never like formulaic television. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, and we had like a really good team, like, you know, Jax, who was the production company, like had an infrastructure yep. and like, so like a lot of the nuts and bolts were like the crew. They had so many people that like were ready for us to meet and pick and like all this stuff. And I think for our show, which is a lot like a lot of cable shows and especially shows where the writers are in it, you know, it's all written first. So it's sort of like all writing and like production prep is done like before. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, when we're shooting, you're still like prepping the next like block of three episodes. But it's definitely a lot. But we had like a really great team of people who all like,
you're not doing it all yourself. And
no, we had like a great stuff, but like post producer who's like organizing that schedule. And like it is also like a crazy shit show.
Yeah.
Like there was a while, I will never forget this. Alana and I, every once in a while, such idiots, we would be like, okay, so how long does it? All right. So like, how long does a season take us? And we'd be sitting in person and we'd be like, okay, January. I'm like counting my fingers, Jen. And then we'd be like, and we like lose count. Like there was like no, and I was like, it's just back. Like for the first couple years, it was truly like we would finish editing on like a Friday and start writing on the Monday.
Insane.
Which is also like, I'm saying that like it's a crazy shit show. And like it was also my fucking dream come true. Like it was definitely like really, you know, it really jump-started my workaholism of like this, wow, I could actually do something that people like and that I feel so satisfied by and I like love it. And so I almost felt like, what is the thing where like cat, like animals will like go and like touch the thing. I was just like I was like training myself to like, this is giving me
What? When the animals go and touch the thing?
Like little hamsters will like go and like take a treat and then they'll like, I don't know what I'm saying here, but it was like I was
I want to figure this out.
It was like training myself of like of all the things, like this thing, which like kind of took over my life in a way that it had to, was like gave me so much joy that like why not just continually throw myself into anything that feels like it could do the same thing? So it was like, okay, yeah, dude, like we're doing this. Like, what else can I do? Like, it's just like that effect of like,
yeah, it's like an adrenaline rush where you're kind of riding the wave.
Yeah. And also, like, you're saying yes to a lot of shit. The disbelief that like, what the fuck? No one, you know, it also was like, you know, I couldn't even like, you know, the way that like I love UCB forever holds such a spot in my heart, but like really wasn't a player there until we did Broad City.
Right.
It was a little like retroactive love for Alana and I.
Yes.
And I'm like, it was like the place I like found myself, but also like was pretty much like, I'm never going to be allowed to perform here ever for so long. And so that was kind of like this sort of disbelief of like, they're letting us make a show. We got to just keep going. Like,
yeah, there's a drive behind it. Mm-hmm. There's this like drive of like probably pent up frustration, probably fear, right? You're like, this shit, like, I'm guessing when you start getting stuff, it's like, is there a fear that creeps in, like, this can all go away?
Yes.
Like, very quickly.
Even now, man, I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, I'm like, I guess I'll, like, move to the mountains or something. Like, I'm constantly, like, which is, like, maybe a sad thing to hear.
I think so, but I've also heard a lot of artists being like, there's got to be that point where you kind of doubt yourself and also, like, want to get the fuck out of this. Like, there always has to be that moment where you're like, you kind of fantasize about a life, you know, past this, like, and you kind of start checking in with yourself. You're like, am I doing this just to stroke my ego? Is there something deeper here that keeps me driving? Like, for us, I feel like both of us are simpatico in the sense, like, we like to create, we like to get stuff out of us.
Yeah.
Like, that makes us feel whole. So there's always like that part that will be with you. But it's like, is it this? That's where the question comes in. Like, do I need to act anymore? Do I need to write anymore?
And
is that bringing me satisfaction?
Do I want to just do like, I, you know, I'm in this spot right now where I'm like, could help. I've been like working on some other people's thing where I'm like producing their stuff and like sort of like supervising their like writing and stuff like that. And I'm, it's been so lovely and interesting in this new role, but I'm also on the flip side, just thinking of like, I have like, because it was this like constant, like this might go away. Like someone's going to figure out like, why the fuck is she on it? Like, why are we letting her do this? Like she can't, you know, like that. It's like, well, what do I really want to do? Because of that, I was saying like, yes to so much.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's like, well, like what you're saying, where we want to like express stuff and put stuff out into the world, but not just anything.
Yes. Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like obviously that's like a privileged statement to even be able to like choose, but it is a thing of like, I guess that's more of like the artist side where I don't just want to like work like a crazy person on stuff that I don't fully would want to allow myself to be like consumed by.
Right.
I don't know. I just like turned that into a whole other area. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's got to be like a shit ton of stuff on your plate. You have to constantly be in like reevaluating mode. And then probably there's times where you like don't have time to reevaluate. You're just kind of like grabbing what's in front of you because you're also like, there's the artist side of shit. And then there's like business stuff. And like sustaining a career, putting money away. Like there's all like the, we kind of wax poetic a lot about this, the fucking creative and, but man, a huge part of this shit is like, can you survive? Like, especially in cities that are really expensive now, especially when there seems to be a lot more jobs, but fewer in a weird way. It's a weird ass time, you know what I mean? Especially now with what we're going through, there's a lot of uncertainty always. So,
oh man, now it's just like, who the fuck knows? But I guess all the pandemic stuff aside, even though that is our like reality, it does seem like there's more shows and projects than ever. There's like how many networks and, you know, streamers and stuff. It just seems like there's like way more things in this industry to work on. But it does seem, I mean, I'm also like, I don't know. Like it's a weird thing of, oh, I don't even know.
That's what it's about. We got to get these out, man. This can't be like, oh, I have all these answers ready to go. Like,
yeah,
the reality is it's like, it's very fucking confusing. And just going back to like the Broad City shit real quick, like, many seasons throughout that, I feel like the first maybe one or two, you guys have your heads down, but like by the third one, maybe, are you starting to be in your heads a little bit because you're get like, what happens when you get like really positive feedback? Do you put this extra pressure on yourself and you go like, oh fuck, like we saw these characters going to a certain point. Now we have to like, there's this beautiful pressure, I guess, of like, where do we go from here? But also, does that fuck you up a little bit?
Yeah, I think it was the first three were like so fat, like right on top of each other.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I am maybe more than Alana. I call myself, I'm not as much so, but I used to be like quite the, like, it's as a bad example, but I feel like I was like a cutter in terms of like looking at things online.
Yeah.
And like feedback and comments and stuff. And I would like find the negative things.
Yes. Right.
And I think when we went into the fourth season, it was, we really wanted to do a winter season. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, we had to like push production. Yeah. And also it was when Paul and Lucia did that movie Rough Night that Alana was in. And so like that happened to fall in there. And so it was like push, like it didn't come out for longer and we were able to shoot in the winter. And the election happened then.
Fun.
And yeah, really fun. And we had written, the whole season before that. And it also, you know, the show's always been like amplified versions of us.
Right.
In certain ways, but like, I think it was so, it can be so slapsticky and sketchy at times, but also really grounded in like real stuff and insecurities and stuff that we felt like we wanted to share. But I think the fourth season switched into like, we're getting a little bit older. I want to like put some things in here that like a lot, we like did, Alana was like depressed and she had her sad lamp.
Yep.
Like my character dated a woman, which was a thing that was like real for me.
Right.
And the election, which was like a really big thing that we just like, the show was very topical.
Yeah.
We really wanted it to feel like you're watching it, like when it's happening. So that felt really right. And it's just like, there was like a shift of like, oh, these characters are still the same. It's still like, you could kind of pop into any episode, but it's starting to become a little bit more serialized because they're starting to grow a little bit.
Right.
And then in the fifth season, we were like, what if they grew?
Yeah. Right.
And what happens when, you know, things change a little bit?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you don't have your best friends anymore, but like life changes and people, spoiler, people move or what happens when like that happens. And it was, I don't know. It was like, it changed the whole experience for us to get to write these characters that were so sort of like knuckleheads in a more real way.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it was a little like, I did feel like I was listening a little, like I was aware of the feedback, but then, I mean, but we also ended it. Like a lot of people think it got canceled, but we ended it, which also I feel like a lot of people would think we're fucking crazy for doing that.
Right. Yeah. No, you made the choice.
Yeah.
You guys made the choice. Like this is our last season.
And it was a fight. It was like a fight.
Hmm.
Not like a mean fight, but like we were contracted for 7.
Right.
And so it was like no one really understood why we would do this.
Yeah.
But it also was like we'd been making the web series for 2 years since 2009.
Yeah, right.
And
you're at 10 years at this point.
Yeah. And it wasn't out of being tired of the characters or not loving it. It was almost like we loved it so much that it was like, I want to end it when it's like still
at its top.
It's where it's like, this is great. I love every episode we've made rather than being like, fuck, I got to.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/OfficeHoursLive this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
What am I gonna, what's Abby gonna say now? She's gonna pick up another fake phone call, you know? Like,
it's a lot of like musicians, right? They're like contracted for like 6 albums, 7 albums, and like, those sometimes those last two are like, you know, I just had to get this one out. And maybe not like the fucking Beatles, but like a lot of other artists are just kind of popping something out and their heart's not totally in it. Or they're like, there was something special about this moment that we wanted to capitalize on. And it's like, it's momentum, right? It's like taking that momentum and not letting the momentum fizzle out.
Yeah.
And then feeling like you're working uphill again.
Yeah. And like really getting to choose how it ends and like going for it. And
there's power in that.
It felt so powerful. And like, it was so like, talk about deep cut, like the cold open of the finale of the TV show was basically an homage to like our finale of the web series. And like, we were like, what fucking geeks are we? We're going to like, like maybe 100 people on that. But like,
I'm one of them.
Yeah. But it was like, it was like, it's the same as it ever was. Like, it's the same shit. We're running to get a fucking bacon, egg and cheese. And that's what it was always about, you know?
Yeah. Just it's kind of putting the power in your hands. And there's so many other, it's the other thing, like when you're doing this is like, there's so many other people that are in your ear telling you what to do. Also that also have the money that also like giving you notes. And did you develop some sort of, I don't know, system or some sort of internal compass to kind of be like, that's a good note, no thanks? Or because you're never going to be, you're never going to bat 1,000 on that. But like, that's got to be fucking really tough, especially the more successful you get. I'm guessing the more people are in your ear, you would think like, oh, the less people are going to be in your ear because, you know, you've proven yourself.
Yeah. It's, like, so many rounds of notes on Broad City, and then like on anything else I've done, even if as like producing someone else's script with them and getting notes from a network too.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason for like how I guess I react to feedback. Yeah. I think there's like, it's totally a gut instinct of like why I think something. It's the same of like almost why you laugh at something.
Yeah, right.
You're like,
It's in your DNA.
And a lot of my responses to notes are, or responses to like, because a note isn't always like, why are you, it isn't always negative. Like, but the response is always like, I don't know why, but I just think it's funnier this way, or I prefer it this way, or.
Sure.
And there's certain things where I'm like, let's try, like a lot of things are like, let's try it.
Yeah.
And like, it's sort of like a let's try it is like, let's try it. And it's either you were right or I was right. Or, and then I think the main thing that I've come away with in terms of feedback is like, there's always like a note behind the note.
Right.
Where like anything, it's like, well, whether they didn't get it or like, if they have a very specific thing and that I disagree with, it's like, we don't necessarily have to take their full note, but there was something about that line of dialogue that they didn't get or rub them the wrong way or something there. And so it's like, let's just look at it. Like I'm usually like, well, look at it.
I bet you there's so much shit that's thrown away that is like, if you just tweak the cadence or if you just changed a word around like stand up or something like that, where it's like, you don't have to throw baby out with the bathwater with this whole joke. It's
I think most people are like, I think the best development execs are the ones that are like collaborative where they're like, we don't like this. And you're like, well, this is why we did it. This is why. And they're like, you know what? You're right. Or it's like, because of that note, we shifted something. And then we found the new thing that both of us had contributions to. And like, that's the best. Yeah. But it is like, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think with Comedy Central, we were really, really lucky. They were like pretty hands off.
Yeah.
And when they were hands-on, it was usually great notes or, again, like something made us rethink something or – but it's like – it's almost like working out is like how to get better at – like it's like the same like the more you work out, the less your muscles will
– atrophy?
Yeah. Like it's like a – it is like building a muscle of like how to like figure out how to shape the thing with other people's feedback.
Yeah.
It's like, just like the more you kind of get people's feedback, the more you're like, you realize your own taste.
Yeah. This is what you were saying before too, where you were like, oh, you know, there's still insecurities and stuff there, but I've gotten so much better as a writer and stuff. Like, yeah, you were in like, you're in like the professional shit of it. Like you're a producer, writer, actress, you're getting notes. It's just like, It's almost like you don't have, in a good way, you don't have time to overthink stuff at certain points. Like things are moving so fast that it's just like, give me three options. This one, give me, you don't have like time to like really think about things. But is there any times where you're looking back on episodes, or were there any like regrets that you had, or anything where you were like, fuck man, I wish I'm sure like every episode you can critique or maybe tweak some stuff.
Yeah.
Or,
I think that there were definitely some,
I know if there's something you always wanted to do and you were like, fuck man, it would have been great there, or that you never really got to do.
I mean, I think in terms, I don't regret it, because it was also like, I think we handled things in like or at least a couple things in a really unique way that I don't think a lot of shows do.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you know, Abby and Alana, again, are like versions of us, but like amplified versions. And I think like every once in a while there would be like something. It was usually like the writing that – it was usually something that we would write for Alana.
Yeah.
Because Alana – you know, one of my favorite lines is something I say to her where it's like, dude, you know you're – you know sometimes you're so anti-racist that you're actually – really racist. And like that is sort of like the game of Alana, like so adamantly anti-racist that sometimes she does shit where you're like, dude, no, you know, like it's really insulting to some people. And right. So that was a thing that like navigating, and if we are looking at feedback, we're seeing like people are like, fuck that, or like all like, and so there were a couple instances where we went for something because we thought that you like knew the character well enough to be able to go there. And I think I see. Just like rubbed people the wrong way, and
sure,
totally understandably. And I think, I hope people know that like that was like to insult any, especially any marginalized person was never our intention. If anything, we were trying to be inclusive as the show, but there was something that, so Alana had these earrings that said Latina.
Oh, right. Yep.
Not Latina at all. She's not Latina at all. Alana's just Jewish, like Jewish white person.
Ashkenazi to the core. Just
a white person. And and we saw this feedback that it was like, what is she doing wearing that? And it's just like, I guess we allowed things to be okay if Alana did them, because it was like, it's a lot, you know? Alana the character.
Yeah.
And we decided that this is like really important. And like we were, that someone called attention to this, and we're going to like make a change within the show. And so we had Jaime confront, be like, this is insulting. You can't wear these. And Alana has like a breakdown about like, do you think I'm racist? Like, and then also reveal all the other shit she does. Like she's on Grindr, like all this other shit. And it like grew the show because of that feedback. Yeah. And I was really proud of that like misstep that we'd taken and the way, no, I wasn't proud of, but like the way that that the show dealt with it, because I was like, I don't think that happens very much.
You can also just ignore it, right? You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just be like, all right, fuck you.
She won't wear them anymore. And it's like, no, like, there's like room. And it was like really funny.
Yeah.
It's like, well, again, like if that's true, what else? Like, and there's like stuff like that where I feel like we could have revisited. But I'm trying to think what I feel like there was a couple New York City spots we always wanted to. I will say the Brooklyn Bridge was like season one. We talked about the
white
Brooklyn
whale
Bridge. Every single season. We were like, this is impossible. And then we were like, we're putting this in the finale.
Yeah.
And it was like the hardest shoot day I've maybe ever had, because
how do you shut that down?
It was it wasn't shut down.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
if you watch, it's in the finale. If you watch it, this is like, I should not fucking say this, but we had to cover up like people's eyes, like looking at us. So like a couple women are wearing like truly terrible, like glasses are like floating over their face.
So you had to digitally put it
because people would be like walking back. Yeah, and you had to like just change people's faces, because we just had boards up being like, you will be on camera if you continue. Yeah. And we're pushing a toilet.
Yes.
We're pushing a toilet over it. And there's like a crew in front of it was just like mayhem.
Yes.
Lucia killed that.
Yes. She's great, man. She's great. Did you, yeah. Was there times where you were like, the last time we talked, I remember you had a breakdown on the corner of, I forgot where it was by Atlantic. You were like, I'm done with Atlantic Theater.
Yeah, that was like, that was right before I found UCB.
Yeah. Was there any breakdowns filming this shit? Or did you ever go through anything where you're like, I can't do this anymore? Or was it pretty much you didn't have time to do that?
No, I gotta say, I mean, I guess it's been, I guess it was like a 6 to 7 year TV experience with Broad City.
Yeah.
And no, like, I feel really lucky. I was never like, I don't want to, the like ending it, it was not like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
It was almost like a breakup where like, I didn't want to, like, we both were like, we love this. It just like artistically has to end.
Yeah.
And so it was like, so it was kind of fucking perfect. It was,
it felt right.
Yeah. And we got to work with so many of our friends.
Yeah.
We got to work with so many crazy like actors that I'm like, I can't believe people did our show.
Right.
And it was only a year ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But it feels like it feels so long ago. And also like I haven't really fully processed like
it being gone.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah, I wonder, is it like that's such a special time, and viewing it as like, it's tough because it's not necessarily a loss. Like, you didn't lose it. It was your decision, but there has to be, I don't know if there's like a grieving process that needs to happen with it, or that you did or that you went through.
It's like it's a weird thing, because even though Alana and I both were like doing other things throughout on the side that was like our individual stuff, it did feel like it was like very much my identity.
Uh-huh.
Like,
right.
And it's my name. And yeah, since it's been over, I'm just sort of, it's just like a different, I've kind of just like slowed down a little bit.
Right.
And just been like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's scary though that I maybe might not make something that I love quite as much, but.
Do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I love, we just, you know, finished editing basically this League of Their Own pilot.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congrats.
Which is, thank you. Yeah. Which is like, I love it. It's just, very different. It's very heavy. It's really funny, but it's like, it's just a different thing. Whereas,
you're dealing in a very specific time period with very specific shit going on.
Yeah. Whereas Broad City was like, truly, it felt to me like we were always trying to capture that. Like, I think for, how old are you?
36.
Me too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think I was always like honing in on that, like 24, 25, for us in New York.
Yes. Right.
Where we're
that,
like
that special time.
Like, and it's very like, that's like when we were in comedy, it was like hustling here. Like, I got my day job. I got my thing at night. Like, it was very like that there's energy that I don't feel anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like anybody. It's just so specific.
It's sad in a way, because I feel the same thing where it was like, man, what a great time that was, you know, before all this shit happened. There was just such a fun energy. There was the expectations were so low. You know, like, you were so happy to do an independent show at like 11 p.m.
Yes.
And like the fourth floor walk up of some dingy. And you were just so happy to see people. You were so happy to create together. And you're so happy to be a part of something, right?
It just like, I remember like taking the subway home so late from like shows or like practices and just being like, this is it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, just
this is everything.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe I live in New York and I get to do this. And like,
yeah,
I don't know.
There was no like, it can be better than, it was such an appreciation for the moment. Everyone has their own journey, their own story of what brought them to, say, UCB, or like that kind of era that we were doing everything in. And we were all kind of like searching for something. And like, UCB felt like a place where we found it. And it was a lot of like collaboration. There was a lot of like, a lot of discussion. It was a lot of just nerding out, like where you could really nerd out on comedy. And it was like a high school, right? It was a lot of gossip. It was just like a lot of action. It was, I was just talking to a YA author for my podcast, and she was saying like she started writing YA to like remember what it was like to experience things for the first time again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. There's, to like
there's
go
something
back
special
there.
To that.
And yeah, that's kind so of why like I think we were the show was kind of kept me there in a way.
Yeah.
Like it was just
there was also like anything could happen, right? So like for Broad City, it was like, I'm just thinking of like, I'm making like a funnel, but I don't fucking know. But you know what I mean? It was like, anything could happen. League of Their Own, it's almost like very specific. It's like.
Yeah, it's like historical.
Historical. It's, it's, you know, narrow.
And there's like
right?
pressure because it was, it's like people's favorite movie.
One of my favorites.
It's, I mean, and it doesn't touch on the movie at all, which you know, like, you know.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's not, it's about the same league, but it's none of the same characters. I want people to
we'll
like,
say,
really know
great
that.
Pilot. I got to read the pilot. Fucking great pilot.
Yeah?
Yes. Because I remember seeing you.
Yeah.
And you were like, does it, it was such a charming thing. You were like, came up to me like, do you read the pilot? What do you think? Like, you know what I mean? I was like, oh no, it's great. It's,
but you know, you can see why it's like.
Of course.
Thank you
You're
so
tackling
much.
An iconic.
It's a lot. Yes.
It's a lot. Were you shitting your pants writing it? Was there a lot of like self-doubt when you were doing that? Or did you just like, how did you focus up to?
Yeah. I mean, Will Graham asked me to do it in like 2017.
Yeah.
And we've been rewriting this pilot since like May 2017 to like, we shot it in February.
Yeah.
So like, there's been so many rewrites. It's really just about, I think the pressure is more like Broad City is like my point of view.
Yes, right.
And this, like, there's my character, you know, there's like a sexual awakening. So there's something I can like, really, like, there's definitely like.
You can, there's stuff that you can speak to.
Yeah, there's stuff that I can
personal.
Like, relate and like bring into it. But there's, it's like people's point, the points of the various point of views that we're showing in this new version are like people that existed and that their stories like weren't really told.
Right.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
And that's like, to make it really funny too. I'm like, what the? It's like, it's a lot. And I'm just like, you know, it's like, I am the person that looks to see how people thought about it. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to just have to like stay offline, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What is it about that? Is there a need for like validation in a way? Or is it,
is it like
you want to please everybody or?
I think I need to like work on it in therapy or something, but I don't know. Like, I guess I think most people hope that others will like their work.
Of course. Yeah.
But I don't know. I like can't even, I can't like resist sometimes to be like,
sure.
What I don't know. What's the AV club thinking about the episode, you know, like,
yeah, sure.
Just because I care about it so much. I think care about the thing, it wouldn't matter to me, but
it's something you, it's almost like something you love and you want to protect in a weird way. Right.
Yes.
Like, so you want to know all the information about the thing that you want to protect. I'm thinking about like my fucking daughter that I love so much. I would want to know all threats to my daughter.
Yeah. You'd want to know, like, what are the school kids saying? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause you fucking love the thing so much and you go, well, I can fix this then.
Or like, you know? Or it's not necessarily- it might also be like, I just want to make sure it is like being received the
right,
way
right,
like
right.
I like
you
intended. Yeah. Yes. Maybe that's it.
Yes.
It's just like
okay, we figured out you
figured
don't need
it
therapy.
Out. I don't need, yeah. Gonna cancel her. Cancel.
Yeah, because there's such rich characters in that pilot. Are these based on real people? Are you kind of is this half like imagination? Did you have actresses in mind? Do you know what I mean? Like when you're writing from another person's perspective, how are you going about that? Is it different every time or do you have like a kind of method with that?
Yeah. So there's none of the characters are based specifically on any real person.
Gotcha.
Individually. But a lot of the character, like especially there's a black woman that's in the pilot. It's basically like a two-hander. It's an incredible ensemble, but it's really a two-hander between her and me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that is one of the main nods to the film because there's a moment where there's like a foul ball and a black African-American woman picks up a ball and like chucks it back. And then Gina Davis is like, shakes her hand like, whoa. That, and to like say that was a good throw, but then that's it.
It was like a 5-second clip during a montage.
Yeah, and it's very confusing. And we actually got, this is just nuts. I got to talk to Penny Marshall before she passed away.
Oh.
And we asked her about that because, you know, it was like, it felt like, was there more? Did it get cut? And she was like, well, I didn't do it again. She was like, well, I was trying to make a show about, you know, women playing professional ball. I couldn't do everything. So I put that in there, but I couldn't do everything. And I guess we are attempting to like do everything in the show.
Yeah.
But really, I might be spoiling, but like we follow her after that.
Yes.
And so she's based on a handful of women. So black women were not allowed to try out in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even allowed to like step onto the field and try out. And a handful of women who went to tryouts and weren't allowed ended up playing in the male Negro leagues.
Yes.
Barnstorming all over the country, which is like
insane.
And so Toni Stone, Mamie Johnson, and then there's a couple other women that we kind of like really did a lot of research on that would play. There was another league in California that was more integrated. And this character Max is really based on like a lot of these women that weren't even allowed to try out for the league. And my character is a woman that is allowed to try out for the league. So it's kind of following these two, the story of inclusion and then the opposite of that. But it's, so there's just a lot and how they are connected and then there's like,
how long does this take you to write?
A long time. And like, there was so much research done because
that's what I'm saying. The research
part of
insane.
It is the queerness of like, it's like, believe it or not, professional women's baseball, like a lot of the women were gay.
But also not shown in
a
League of Their Own.
Not at all. Like if you rewatch this movie, listen,
everybody's husbands are at war.
Fabulous movie. Really funny. Holds up in a lot of ways and then really doesn't hold up in like any real issue that's happening.
Yes.
But it's also was made in the 90s and nothing really did. But Rosie is in it.
Right.
Lori Petty, like, and Rosie's talking about her boyfriend and there's like little slight comments that you could take to mean something, but like nothing. And we're not being slight about it. So there actually was a doc that came out last week called A Secret Love on Netflix. That's like heartbreaking and lovely. That was about one of the women, she was like in her 80s. one of the women was a catcher for the league and they met like when she was playing. It's like it kind of comments on that, but so it's just like, I don't even know what your question was, but
no. It was like, how are you writing all these people? Yeah. So it's a lot of research. It's a lot of, cause especially if they're not, you know, you don't have these experiences. You're trying to write characters honestly and with, you know, respect and all that stuff. Also trying to make it funny. So it's like putting a comedic spin on someone that you don't know. You know, and you want to respect, and I would think that would be challenging. So it's doing a lot of research, I'm guessing.
And it was so much research. And then actually, we didn't write it with anyone in mind, actor wise. And then once we started like casting, we rewrote. Like I thought, like certain people, I just thought of, like Darcy,
right.
We were like, oh, Darcy would be great for this character, like in an unlikely way too.
Uh-huh.
Like the ensemble is so good. I can't even.
Yeah.
And then
have you seen a cut of it yet or anything?
Oh yeah. I've seen like, seen it like 200 times actually. Cause we've been editing it.
You have to give fucking notes after.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I was in there in person for 2 weeks before the quarantine. And so we're really close to, I mean, I think it's really good. I don't know if we'll get picked up. That's a whole other like waiting game, but.
Is it crazy where you're like, do you ever go like, fucking Abby, like I've done it. I've done a bunch of shit. Like pick up my shit. You know what I mean? Or is it like.
I mean, I do sometimes, but then I'm also like, but I get it. I'm like the lead in the show. Like I go the other way where I'm like, this is nuts. Like, this show is like a different budget than Broad City, man. This is like a season of Broad City, you know?
Period piece.
It's like the wardrobe alone, you know, everything is just nuts. So I'm like, yeah, like I know we can make a dope show, but like I also am like, oh my God, I can't believe like I'm in it and like they're letting me do this. Yeah. So
have you like pitched other shit like in the meantime that like hasn't gone? Were you still like on the off season, like trying to create stuff, pitching stuff, trying to sell shows? Was that like a goal or was that like in mind? Because I know you started producing, you did start trying to kind of like go into that stuff. Was this a situation where you're still facing rejection even when you were having success with Broad City?
There hasn't been like a ton, like the stuff I'm producing is sort of like another, like other writer stuff that like, it's been, the shows have kind of been going on for a while, which is good, I guess, that like they haven't been, like people are still interested, but it's still in like script phase. But Alana and I wrote a movie a while ago and then it never went, which was like a cool experience. I wrote this other movie that it just like, I never found a place. Right.
So you're still creating during all this.
Yeah. Like I haven't like pitched like a ton of other shows that were like my, like I want to make this show. It's sort of been like based off of someone else's thing that I saw. And I was like, what if we did this?
I don't know if there was any like major heartbreaks over the 7 years or you were so focused on Broad City trying to make that the best as possible that you're like, because I think sometimes we spread ourselves maybe too thin. And
I think
it seems like you guys put so much energy into Broad City that I don't know if it was like, oh, yeah, we tried for some other things, but it was in the off season. We were like, it didn't go, but it's like we had this or there was some heartbreak. I don't know if there was any heartbreakers that you're like, I really wanted this to go.
I think it was like there wasn't like a ton of time for me to do anything like that. But I guess also it was like I haven't really like acted in a lot of things, many things at all that I haven't like written for myself.
Yeah.
So that's a thing kind of for me where.
So
I'm
you're
like,
getting like offers and stuff like that? Or like you're getting like people are going to you and be like, oh, I want you to play on this.
No. No, like the one thing that I did recently that was like truly fucking bananas, but it was all Susie Essman. It's like Susie Essman's my fucking manager. Yeah. She was like, Abby, there's a part on Curb. You're perfect for it. I'm getting it. I'm submitting you. And it was like a part of a waitress with diarrhea. I'm like, thanks, Suze. But I also was like, yeah. And so she did that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not. Yeah. Like, I guess I just I have this thing, like a mentality of like, I guess I have to make the thing if I want to.
Right. That's how it's always been for you.
I've always been that way where I'm like, if I want to act in something that's like nuanced and.
Yeah, but do you ever get in the mindset like, but I fucking did it. I proved myself.
I would love to like, act in something.
Yeah.
You know, I did an indie a couple years ago and it was like such an incredible experience. Like I would love that, but I don't know. I just don't think I think that's also why like, the Broad City of it all, like Alana and I talk about feeling this same way. We're like, I just don't think we're like typical actory kind of people. So we're not thought. I don't know. And I'm like, maybe that's good.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But that's.
I feel like there's like a handful of like character actors that work and a lot of actors that get their stuff. It's like, yeah, you'd be good for this part. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we know what you can do and we're going to put you in here. And it's like, do your thing. And it's like, yep, it makes it good. I'm sure that gets old at a certain point. Like a lot of actors, you know, older actors are like, wow, I feel pigeonholed into playing this like stereotypical role or whatever. Yeah. But when you're starting to rock and roll with it, it's just like, yeah, I'll fucking just put me in wherever. I don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah. But I will say like with that, sometimes I'm like, oh man, like I gotta like write something if I'm gonna like remain in this business.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I think that that's good because it, then it gives you some power.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really tough to like, just as rely you were saying, on the industry. As you were saying, well, as you're saying in the beginning about like, you're like, yeah, I'm not this like huge dude. So like, like if we walk into a room and they need a huge dude, I'm never going to be right for that part.
Right.
Like you are kind of like, there's a certain like window of that you could fit into.
Right. Exactly.
If that makes sense.
It does. I know you wrote, I might regret this. You kind of like go on this like road trip and shit like that. It's based off of heartbreak. What was the most difficult part about writing that book? Cause that you really kind of like let your soul out in that one. That's gotta be scary as fuck. I mean, to do that, or is it a situation where you're just kind of in your room and it's hard to, I guess it's hard to envision like who's going to read it. Like, I guess you can't do that or else you start editing yourself or maybe that's just me.
I was like, I don't know if anyone will read this. And also like, I mean, I had an editor who I think she was really great at being like, you got to go farther, like just making sure it was like, and a lot, I've also, I think the book maybe more than Broad City, because the book is like a little bit more pointedly personal. Like the negative feedback I get on the book just makes me want to like fucking jump off a bridge. So
what negative feedback are you getting?
Just like, I don't even want to say it. Just like shitty people, man. Like you should regret writing it. Like shit like that. Like I regret reading it because it was fucking terrible. Or like, oh, I guess Alana wrote the whole show. Just like, I'm not even saying like the, you know, and it also is like super personal. And then they like go into what, but I don't regret writing it because I do know that like, it's a book that like I would love to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny. And I think that like, it's definitely written in a tone that like, I hope people snap into. But yeah, that was like, I think the book was the hardest thing I've done so far. Because I was also doing it like at night and on weekends while I was writing Broad City and League of Their Own.
Jesus
like
Christ.
There was a room for League too.
Yeah.
They didn't happen at the same time, but like it was always kind of like any other time was like this book, but like I do that shit on purpose to myself.
In my head, it was more of like were you taking notes on the road trip kind of thing?
I mean,
you're doing this all from memory, kind of like you went on this trip.
Well, it was like I took notes and like I had a journal, but the journal's not the book. And then I took like photos and stuff. And then basically from like August 2007 to August 2018, I like wrote the book. And so I pitched it without like, I was like, I'm going on this trip. I don't know what the book will be. And then it was sort of like, oh, I think it'd be interesting to make it like city by city and then like what each city like kind of took me to.
Yeah.
And so like it took me a while to like create that framework and then figure out, because I really wanted it to be funny. But then
why did you want to do it? What was like the driving force? Like while you're doing all this shit, why were you like, I want to write a book now?
It was like manic, dude. It was like fucking.
Yeah.
It was like a fever dream where I was like so out of it.
Yeah.
We were editing season 4 and I had been just like so just like numb that spring.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I had gotten to a point and I'm like not there right now anymore, which is interesting. I'm almost like yearning for like the next like book project, not book, but like thing to like dive into
the next energy.
Yeah. But like, I find if I make myself have a project, then I'll like, I can be wildly productive because I have a thing that like, I don't know. And I felt like, oh, if I really wanted to go on a vacation and I hadn't in so long, what if I made this project and then I have like the vacation is the thing.
Yeah.
And I guess I always wanted to try essays and like long form writing. And it was the first time where I was like, I don't know. I just had stuff I like wanted to like write about in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I haven't read it in a very long time. And I'm sure like some of it doesn't work as well as others, but I'm like, was really happy and proud of it. just because it was like, I think
you got something out of you that you needed to get out.
Yeah. And I think like it's, I think if anything I'm finding in my work, like I'm pretty relatable, I think. I mean, maybe that's not for me to decide, but like,
but from the feedback you've gotten over the years, it seems like
I think like the Broad City character. Yeah, yeah. I think I'm like, I don't know, but I just felt that way. And I feel like the, what I had to say in the book was like something that a lot of people can maybe relate to.
It feels like you're an honest person.
I so mean, trying to be, I don't know, man, maybe I really am like other people might disagree.
But I think being relatable is being honest, right? Because I think if somebody gets a sense of being like, this person's being authentic, even if it's they're playing a character, they're relating to that character because there's an honesty of that character, even if they have, you know, idiosyncrasies or their specific, their contradictions line up with my contradictions, yeah. Right?
Where it's so like, oh my God, I feel that way. Like on the show, the amplified version of me is almost how you would feel. Like I'm like personifying how like you would feel like talking to the neighbor you're like in love with.
Yeah.
Like by going nuts. You don't actually do that, but I'm going to show how you would feel.
I'm going to show what's going on in your brain.
Yes. Whereas I did that a little bit in the book too, where it like goes, it like kind of, it's almost like there were essays where it was like, I allowed myself stylistically to like kind of go off in these exaggerations of like, what if this happened? What if this happened? And actually, I think like, if people don't get it in the book, the audiobook actually makes more sense if you don't know me, because it's like, I'm doing that.
Yeah, yeah,
And people, like some of it was like, it's rambles. And I'm like, all right.
It's supposed to be,
It's supposed to be. I mean, it's written. Like, I didn't like just write it and like send it off to print. But
There's thought behind this.
It's supposed to be like someone dealing with anxiety.
Yeah, but that anxiety personified is the relatable part.
Yes.
That's anybody that's acting out our fantasies or what we're thinking, you're automatically like, I get you. I want to know you. I want to be you.
Yeah.
I mean,
my anxieties aren't weird. And like, I feel that way too. And like,
or I think it's this, I've been going back to like connecting with other people so much and how that's such a fucking driving force with all this, but I've taken up too much of your time. I want to ask you one more question.
Okay.
It is.
Should I start recording now?
Yeah, you should start recording now. Let's start at the end and we'll go backwards. Yeah. I'll play it all in reverse and this will be a fucking Lynch film. So you got the thing that we were all striving for. You got your own TV show. Didn't set out to like make your own TV show. I know you started Broad City, you're doing the web series, you're frustrated. You're going like, maybe we can get staff somewhere, but it turns into what it turns into. Do you have to reevaluate your goals or do you have to like, what are your goals? What do you do with goals now? Are you shitting your pants at that point about going like, oh my God, I don't know what's next? Or are you going like, oh my God, there's so many more opportunities now? Do you have to, like you said, I think you work best if you kind of give yourself some parameters. Like, are you giving yourself like 5-year plans and all that shit? Or
I mean, good questions. That's how I like used to operate, very much like set out the goals, like lists, all this stuff. And like, I do that to a certain extent right now too, but it's definitely like a reassessment of like what brings me joy now creatively versus just like running on this wheel of like this industry of like, I'm a little like, I guess I feel I don't have these goals set up anymore because I'm still like kind of waiting for that next sort of big surge of an idea.
Right.
Like the book wasn't necessarily an idea, but it was like an adventure, literally.
Yeah. Right.
Like I went on an adventure and then I wrote, you know.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that right now.
You're like, in that in-between phase.
Yeah,
right
where
now.
I'm
you're,
like,
there's
like I
the
don't,
longing for the energy.
Yeah, like I don't have that energy. But I think in terms of, I don't have a goal set for this because it's not specific. But I think for me, my whole like professional career, or since Broad City like started, I think only now and then the past couple of years have I realized like I have a major like imbalance between personal and work life. And so yeah. I think that like I got to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Like I don't, cause like it's truly like no work is ever going to like make me happy in the same way.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know how you set a goal for that. You know?
Well, yeah. It's hard to set a goal for certain aspects of, I guess, love or balance. Just like maybe it's a goal of balance. Maybe. I don't know.
It is a more balance of like, maybe it's okay to not set up my like, well, it used to be like, I want to like go to pilot on this and then we'll go to series on this. Right. And then like, it was very like strategic in that way. And now I'm like, you know what? I will work as hard and I will like do all this stuff, but maybe it's okay to like let things kind of unfold.
Or take a breather, you know, just to kind of, cause I think we press so much. Listen, this also, it's like life is change is inevitable. So it's like sometimes like the way you work changes, sometimes where you are in your life is different than where you were before. It kind of should be for growth, I'm guessing, right? So to be in the spot where you're like, I don't know, there is some sort of power in that.
Like
too.
I truly don't know what like a goal would be. It's upset. It's scary because I'm so like,
I know.
Eye on the prize.
Laser focused.
And now I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yes, it's scary, but there's also like some weird level of like almost like a surprise party in a way. Like, you know, a surprise party is going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen.
And there's still like, I got some stuff. Like there's still, I'm still like, working on stuff, but like, I'm just kind of like, waiting for my surprise party, man.
And you can always go back to drawing and I'm sure that's like a place of like comfort for you.
Yeah, I haven't kind of escape been to. Uber creative during this quarantine. I've actually been reading a lot. Like, I'm like, maybe I need to consume, like, a lot of books. Right now I'm reading that book, The Great Believers, which was, I don't know, I kept seeing it, and I was like, I need to get this. But I've been, like, almost like, I mean, you have a kid, so it's totally different, but, like, I'm almost like I'm in school where I'm like, I got to finish another book, got to get that book down. Like, it's... When I'm not working, I'm like, that's productive, right? Yeah.
So you are laser focused still.
I know.
I'm just letting shit happen. It's like, what's the next goddamn book up?
Well, because it's kind of like, it's all we have. I guess it like, it's either that or I'm going to like fully lean into just like eating shit. And like, like I'm just like, it's just hard to be productive right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all be so lucky to even have that problem though. But
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I still think it's like a kind of cool place to be where you go, like, I did a lot of stuff. I did what I wanted to do. I don't know where the inspiration is. There's stuff brewing. I'm going to give it a chance to kind of come to the surface.
Yeah. And see, like, you know, that book was like, I had all this, like, these feelings about, like, kind of myself that like I kind of didn't get to like explore on Broad City, and I was like, this is a new medium, and I'm like, I gotta like live a little bit more to before I make the next thing, kind of.
I think like true artists like are people that are like they're so naked that they're like, these are the bad parts of myself and I'm going to talk about them, you know what I mean? I feel like that's such a hard thing to do, that vulnerable part of you to be like, this is what I don't like about myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such a, but I feel like when you scratch that itch, there is some sort of like, I don't know, relief in a weird way, or you take the power or control back
totally
from that scary feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're like, I know too, guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know.
You're like, I'm gonna write all the negative comments in here. So there's nothing more for you to like fucking.
Yeah. I'm just so sick of like fucking Facebook.
I'm not social on media. Facebook.
I know. I'm just so sick of it all. And it's just like, I feel like I used to be much more like an open book and like whatever, who gives a fuck. And I feel like over the years, I feel like I've had to put up some sort of bullshit walls a little bit or keep some sort of facade.
Yeah.
It's fucking draining.
Well, you
want to
be more private because it's like, what is this?
I have no interest in it. I have no interest in like telling people what I'm fucking eating and my opinions and all that shit. I just like that's just not me. I just don't I'll do it here, but it's, there's something about it that turns me off so much. What's that?
I think that that's healthy. Like,
it's, maybe
it's like a scary place.
Yeah. It's a very,
people are anonymous. And I mean, I would actually never, ever want to have the feeling of like going onto someone's thing and telling them I didn't like something or that I hate.
Yeah.
Especially sort of like a dangerous, like more, like a troll kind of, like, I wouldn't want to like even go there with them, but like, if I don't like a movie or if I don't like a book or something, I'm like, I won't read anymore. I'll like turn it off. I'm like, I have no desire to be like, let me go online. Like
it's a power dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like, people that don't have power that want to like cut down people that do have power. It's very understandable. I get it. It's just, that's not in me to do that to somebody. Where I also kind of miss,
even if they never see it, they'd never see it, I'm just like, why am I going onto a forum to like hate something?
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Because you want to matter. Seriously, like, people just want to be heard. I mean, all the therapy I've done is all about acknowledgement and like in relationships, in child parent relationships, it's all about acknowledgement.
Yeah.
All about acknowledgement. So it's like,
I feel that.
People just want to be acknowledged and
something, and seen,
and they have
heard
a lot of anger. Yeah. So, So
I should just write back. I see you and I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You want to fucking take someone's power away.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Dude, I understand. I hated it too.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I see you and I hear you. It was great.
Right? I see you and I hear you. Thank you so much. I think I did write back like to someone once, like, thank you so much for your thoughts. I will, or I don't know, like just something like totally taking it. Like there's no way to like,
Well, Abby, thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like, I can't believe that was that long ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So I can still remember it, but it does feel far away.
When we are back, we need to get our coffee or drink for real person.
Yeah. I miss that. I miss our times doing that. I like those like little moments. I have those with just like a couple people. You just kind of go out, you do that thing.
I know. That's like my whole vibe. I love that. I mean, I'm not like a wildly social person.
Not
anymore. And so that's like my...
No, I'm a homebody. This is actually okay with me. If I didn't have a one-year-old, this would be fucking heaven. I love my one-year-old, but it's like, I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think these are great. This is nice, but there's something about being in person that's just like sharing like a call.
Oh, yeah.
Sharing something is so, I just miss that. And I have that with a couple people. It's like, I can see you once every 2 years and there's like a special little thing. And I have that with a lot of different people.
Same.
Like, that's
like
what makes my, it just makes it, and you can go like deep real fast and then just say, see you later. And I don't know. I thrive on that stuff and I've been missing that a little bit.
Well, one day, I mean, I'm sure we'll get coffee in like 2021.
Yeah.
That was the Abby Jacobson. Thanks, Abs, for doing this. Broad City, still streaming on Hulu and Comedy Central. Pick up one of Abby's books, Color This Book New York, Color This Book San Francisco, Carry This Book, or her most recent, I May Regret This, Essays, Drawings, Vulnerabilities, and Other Stuff. She's voicing the main character, Katie, in the Lord Miller animated film Connected, which drops in October, so check that out. Check out her other voices, Disenchantment, BoJack Horseman, on Netflix. Follow her on Twitter, at Abby Jacobson. Follow me on Twitter, at Don Fanelli, or at The Need to Fail. Questions, concerns, failure stories of your own, email me, theneedtofail@gmail.com. All things Need to Fail merchandise, aka my one design, head over to TeePublic, search The Need to Fail, or Mahalo Your Dreams, or check out my social medias for the link. Got a sale going on right now until the end of August, so why not get some fail gear, huh? And why not rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher and tell all your failure friends to do so as well? That's it for me here. Got all new failures coming at you next week. Thanks so much for listening. My name's Don Fanelli. Mahalo your dreams.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.